We're holding the last words of Nun Amrdeh's Omar Rava. We learned yesterday the machlokas of Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim. So we talked about the various permutations of, besides chalitza and yibum, also get and maimer, where the yavam gave a get to the yavama, or where he did maimer, which is kedushin, with her, and then the various permutations of what happens if he does one and then the other. Among all those things. In particular, we had the opinion of Rav Gamliel that says, ein get acha get, why maimer acha maimer, that if he gives a get to one yavama and then another get to her tzara, or if there are two yavamim and one yavama, and one of the yavamim, one of the brothers gives a get to one of the, and one of the yavamim, one of the brothers gives a get to the woman, to the almana, and then another one does, and Rav Gamliel says that second get has no effect. And similarly, if there's one mimer after another from one yavam to each of the two yavamas, or vice versa, then Rav Gamliel says the second mimer has no effect. And the Chum say it does. So Omar Rava, my timer did Rav Gamliel. Why does Rav Gamliel say ein get acha get? Which again, the point of ein get acha get and ein maimer acha maimer, Rav Gamliel is saying, in particular, it doesn't. Now, in terms of being able to do, if, for example, ein get acha get, in practice, no yibum is going to be able to happen anyway. Once he gave a get to one of them, Rav Gamliel agrees that it prevents yibum from happening with any of the women from that bias. Right. What it accomplishes is what we mean ein get acha get is, in particular, means that the second get has no effect as far as assuring him to her relatives. So he won't be able to do yibum with her herself or with her tzara, but the fact that he gave a second get, Rav Gamliel says, is not going to prevent him from later on marrying the relatives of the second one to whom he gave the get, or the woman to whom the second brother gave the get. So Omar Rava, my time at Rav Gamliel, why does Rav Gamliel say that? Because demisafkale get idochi ilay dochi, because he has a suffix regarding a get, whether in fact it pushes off yibum completely or not, and maimer ikoni ilay koni, and he has a suffix regarding maimer, whether it's koina, whether it actually acquires her for him as a wife or not. So therefore, get idochi ilay dochi. So now when it comes to the get, because he has the suffix about what the effect of it is, therefore, he figures, either way, the second one shouldn't be effective. E kama dochi, if the first one was enough to completely push her off from her and her tzaris from Yibum, basra, my kovid, then the second one, there's nothing left for it to have any effect. E kama loy dochi, and if the first one is not doche, if it's not strong enough to be doche, basra nami loy dochi, then neither is the second one. So therefore, he says, no matter how you look at it, Monafshach, the second one shouldn't have any effect, because either there's nothing left for it to have an effect on, or it has no more effect than the first one. Similarly, Maimer ikoni ilaikoni. Similarly, he says, as far as Maimer, whether it can be koina or not, he says the same idea. Ikamakoni, if the first one was enough to be koina her, such that now, in particular, now her relatives become also to him, then basra mai kovid. Then again, the second one, there's nothing left for it to take effect because the first one did the whole thing. The ikama loikoni, and if the first one did not, basra nami loikoni, then neither does the second one. So that is why he says, ein get acha get, and ein maimer acha maimer. Because of the suffix. Now, Rava is not really explaining the reason of the Chachamim. And the reason of the Chachamim because the reason of the Chachamim why they say there is get acha get and maimer acha maimer is relatively straightforward. Anytime you give a woman a get or anytime you give a woman a maimer, it's going to have they're saying it's going to have some kind of effect. But Rav Gamliel is saying that no, because of this monopshek of his. So Gemara says Eisve Abaya. So Abaya asks on Rava. If that's the case, if it's because of Suffet, what about, we learned previously in the Masechta, we learned a Braisa, that said, Moider, Rav Gamliel, she has get acha maimer, Rabbi Gamliel will agree that there is an effect to a get after a maimer. So meaning, in other words, if he gave... Now, we did learn before in the Masechta, we mentioned this yesterday, that on Daf Lamed Beis, we said that if he gave the woman a maimer, and then he gave her a get, then Rava said in that case he undid whatever he accomplished with the maimer. He took back with the get, and therefore that brings him back to square one. Actually, the Rambam learns over there that still he won't be able to do yibum with her. It just means the other brothers will be able to. Other Rishonim disagree with that and say that it means that Rava means that even he could. Whatever the case, we're not talking about that. Let's say there were two Yavamas. So there were two Yavamas, two women married to the brother who passed away. And Rabbi Gamliel agrees, the Braisa says, that if he gave a maimer to one of them and a get to the other one, then by giving the get to the second one, he passels the first one. Now he's also to marry the relatives of either one. The get or maimer achar get, and vice versa. If he gave one of them a get and then he did maimer to the other one, so then the one he did maimer to is going to need a get to undo that maimer. The get achabia. He also agrees that there can be an effect to a get after the get achabia umaimer. Also, there can be a get after bia after bia and maimer, meaning we're talking about that now. Let's say that there were three wives involved. So let's say he did maimer with the first woman. He did bia with the second one, which is not a kosher to bia, because the kosher to bia, the bia kshed or bi'ila ma'ula or whatever it's called would have been after maimer. So if he had done maimer with the first one, and then did bia with her, then that would be kmitzvasa, as we said in the Gemara. But here instead he did maimer with one and then did bia with the second one. And then he gave a get to the third one. So the get, even Rabbi Gamliel agrees that the get has an effect to the extent that he's also in the relatives of the third one. Even though it's a bia psula. Or maimer, achabia of a get. And also he agrees, Rabbi Gamliel, that there can also be a maimer is the previous one. She had the get achabia umaimer, umaimer achabia of a get. And there can be maimer after bia and get, meaning if it was a different order. If there was, he gave a get to the first one, did bia with the second one, did maimer with the first one, then the maimer has an effect to the extent that he's also in her relatives. So that's what the Braisa says. So now, the reason we know that is because in our Mishnah, first of all, we have a Braisa telling us, but the Braisa itself knows, because in our Mishnah we said that Rabbi Gamliel only argues on get acha get and maimer acha maimer, implying that he has no problem with accepting the validity of get acha maimer and gen and all these other permutations. So we can infer that this is true because otherwise Rabbi Gamliel would have said so, right?
But we don't know the mechanism.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. That's what Abaye is asking. So Abaye is asking if Rabbi Gamliel's shita is based on a suffix, the imas sapkale the Rabbi Gamliel. If you're telling me Rabbi Gamliel only has a suffix, what the effect of a get is, or what the effect of maimer is, then to have a kibir of the lachatchila, then we should consider that this, for example, this case where we had get achabia or maimer, or maimer achabia of a get, where we had the second item on the list was bia, then we should consider it as if it was bia at the first step of the process. Namely like this. We know that even though you're supposed to do maimer, and then bia, the fact is daraisa bia is enough. And therefore, and we're not even going to say that if a person does bia without maimer, we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that if a person does bia without maimer, he can get makas maudus for it because it's a persistic thing to do. But nevertheless, it's still going to be a bia ksheda, and it's going to pater her and all the other, it's going to remove the zika for all of them. The only problem we have is when we have maimer was done with one woman and then bia with a different one. Well, if Rabbi Gamliel is saying that he has a suffix about the effect of a get and the effect of a maimer, then what we should say is that, so now we have, so there was maimer, then bia, then a get, or, or get, then bia, then a maimer. If he's saying that he has a suffix, whether maimer or get is effective, then we should again say that based on that suffix, the bia should be the equivalent of something that takes place at the beginning rather than in the middle. Because again, we should say the same monif shech as we said before. That let's say for example in the case where you had mimer with the first one, bia with the second one, get to the third one, if you say that the get is not, so you should say that either way the get is not effective. Same idea. If the first mimer was koine, then the bia and get after it have no effect. If the mimer is not koine, then the bia comes out to be a bia batchila. It comes out that there was nothing before it, and therefore would be a bia tshera. And then the get also wouldn't be effective. And the same thing when it comes to get, then bia, then mimer. Same idea. If the get is completely doicha, then the bia has no effect, and the mimer after it has no effect either. If the get is not doicha anything, then the bia is a bia tshera, and the mimer after it is nothing. So therefore, so either way, the third item on the list should not be affected. So the bia then therefore should possibly be like a bia lachatchila v'tikni, and it would be koina. D'otznan. After all, we learned in the Mishnah, ha bi'ila b'zman shi v'tchila, when the bi'ila takes place first, ein acharei klum, then nothing after it is effective. Not a get, not well, get would be effective to divorce her, but the get to any of the other women wouldn't be effective. Yeah, in other words, so if he marries the Yavama, he does bia with her, and then he gives her a get, sure, they're divorced. But the point is, what we mean is, if he gives a get to a different one of the women, if he does Yibum, if Reuben, in our scenario over here, for example, Reuben was married to Chana and Leah. If Shimon does Yibum with Chana, and then later on he gives a get to Leah, nothing happens. The get has no effect. He's not also in Leah's relatives. So if Rav Gamliel's whole opinion is based on suffix, then that get at the end should have no effect, because either it was preceded by mimer, which had the effect of being koine, or it was, again, we're talking about there were three women. In our scenario over here, we're talking about there were three women. There were Chana, Leah, and Tzipora, let's say. So if he did mimer with Chana, bia with Leah, and get with Tzipora, then one way or the other, that get has no room to take effect. Either the mimer with Chana was effective, and then therefore find the bia with Leah might be a bia, the bia with bia with Leah might be a bia psula, fine, but you already have the mimer accomplish everything that it accomplished a full kinyan, therefore the get with the third one has no effect, and if the mimer had no effect, then the bia with Leah had an effect, and then there was nothing for the get to be chal on. And vice versa, if there was get, then bia, then mimer. So that's what Abaya is saying to Rava, based on all of that. Given that we know that Rav Gamliel does agree, we said in the Braisa that he does agree that there's get, acha, mimer, and mimer, acha, get. Well then, if you have bia in the middle, if you have three, then why would, then according to your svara, Rav Gamliel should be arguing in that case, because he should say that the get is not chal, that the get at the end, or the mimer at the end, is not chal, and has no effect on marrying her relatives. Ela Amar Abaya, so rather Abaya says, la'olam pshitele le Rav Gamliel beget de dochi. No, what it actually is Rav Gamliel does know for a fact that a get pushes off that a get pushes off, but not completely. It makes it weakens the zika, in other words, and that mimer is koina to a mimer to koni, and he knows that mimer is koina to a certain extent. So therefore, in other words, so that answers Abaya's question. It means that when you have mimer for the first one and bia with the second one, or get for the first one and bia for the second one, that bia is no longer a bia. There's no possibility that bia is a bia ksheva anymore. No question that bia is a bia psula. And when we said in the Mishnah einach a bia klum, we meant only a bia ksheva. But the reason why Rav Gamliel says ain't get acha get and ain't mimer acha mimer is omur rabbanon, because he figures the chachamim say like this: ha yavama, when it comes to the yavama, b'chad sad mahani boget, there's one aspect of the zika where a get affects it. And there's a different side of it. There's a different aspect of it where mimer is effective. In other words, he says, in effect, take the zika and split it into two parts. one part can be affected by Mimer, and the other part can be affected by Get. Well, therefore, if you have Mimer and then something else and then Get, then each one operates on a different half. So therefore, you have each one had room to be affected. That's why if there was Mimer, Bia, and Get, or Get, Bia, and Mimer, then it's effective. On the other hand, get acha get loy dochi. So now, when it comes to one get after another, so if he gives a get to Chana and then another get to Leah, for example, then if it's not effective loy dochi, then the second one doesn't push off anything. Dochi loy kama. Because what does the get have an effect on? Only on a certain half of the zika. Well, that half was already affected by the first get. Therefore, there's no room for the second get to affect that same first half. And therefore, the second get is not foul. And similarly, or mimer acha mimer, like koni, similarly, one mimer after another is not going to be koina, deha koni like kama. Because after all, the first one already, with the first mimer was koina, the first half of the, was strengthened the first half of the zika. And now, on that same half of the zika, there's no room for another mimer to be chal. Deha koni like kama, because the first one was already koina. Whatever a get has the power to accomplish, the entire half of the zika that it has the power to affect has been already affected by the first one. The same way with mimer. That is why he says ain get acha get and ain mimer acha mimer, as opposed to get acha mimer or mimer acha get. But Abaya says when it comes to get after mimer and mimer after get, then it's different. High milsa kadochi, behind milsa kokoni. Each one affects a different half of the zika. The get affects one half. The mimer affects the other half, and vice versa. So therefore, Rav Gamliel says there is room for that to be chal, and therefore, in the case where we have three wives, then we said again that you can have a get for one, which weakened one half of the zika. Then comes bia with the second one, which now is a bia psula, because it was preceded by a get, which weakened the zika. And then mimer comes along, and mimer with the third one still is able to have an effect, because the other half of the zika hasn't been touched. And therefore, that mimer is effective, and makes him also to marry her relatives, and vice versa. If it was mimer, then bia, then get. So that explains Rav Gamliel's opinion, says Abaya. V'rabbanan, what are the chachamim answer to that? The chachamim who disagree and say yesh get acha get and yesh mimer acha mimer. So they answer, well, kol chad v'chad takinu le'rabbanan get to mimer b'yavama. That each yavam, the chachamim made a takana that get is effective with each of the yavamas, and that mimer is effective with each one of the yavamas. So there's no such thing as the first one did all of the koyach of what a get did. Let's switch the scenario and say that we're talking about two brothers. So we're talking about, let's say, Shimon gave her a get and then Levi gave her a get. Fine, when Shimon gives her a get, that weakens the entire zika relative to him. But it doesn't weaken the entire zika relative to Levi. It does only to the extent that it makes that Levi now can't do yibum with her, but not to the extent that Levi's get should not still have plenty of room to be chal, and the same thing with mimer, and the same thing when we're talking about one yavam and two yavamas. When Shimon gives a get to Chana, sure, that get has an effect on the entire zika, not just half of it, like Rav Gamliel says. It has an effect on the entire zika between him and Chana, and it has a sort of a spillover effect to Leah as well, that it makes it that now he can't do yavam with Leah, but not to the extent that there's still not room for that get with Leah to have an effect, and therefore pass Leah's relatives to him. And the same thing with Mimer. Now, the Gemara continues, V'hai bia psula adifa mi Mimer ugria mi Mimer. Now, let's go back to the case where we said that you have Mimer with the first one, bia with the second one, and get with the third one, or vice versa, where you had get with the first one, mimer, or you had get, bia, mimer, or mimer, bia, get, where we said Rav Gamliel agrees that in that case, the last item on the list does have an effect, and we said he also agrees that says Abaya, it's not a matter of suffix, like Rava said, it's rather a matter of he knows that the bia is psula. So in a way, that bia he's saying is in a way it's stronger than Maimer. In another way, it's weaker than Maimer. Adifa mi Maimer. In a way, it's stronger than Maimer, according to Rav Gamliel. De ilo Maimer acha Maimer loy mahani, because after all, Rav Gamliel is saying one Maimer after another would have no effect. And yet over here he's saying that one that bia after a mimer does have an effect. On the other hand, he's saying this bia is less effective than mimer. The either mimer achar a get koni lakula shiura the get, because if he gave a get to one and then mimer to another one, then that mimer would take over everything that the get left over, because again, According to Abaya's understanding of Rav Gamliel, the get and the mimer, each one affect a different half of the zikah. So what happens? The mimer at the beginning affected one half of the zikah. If there was a get at the beginning, the get weakened one half of the zikah. The mimer now comes and reinforces the other half of the zikah. But that means now the entire zikah has been affected. One half by get, one half by mimer. And therefore, do the mimer acha get koni lakula shiura to get. So a mimer after get acquires whatever the get left over. The entire half of the zikah that was untouched by the get is now affected by mimer. And therefore, if there was going to be another mimer after that, if there was going to be get for the first one, mimer for the second one, mimer for the third one, nothing would happen. That second mimer isn't effective because ain't mimer acha mimer, according to Rav Gamliel. The ilu bia achara get, like Tanya lekula shiura to get. Whereas he says, when you have bia with the second one after a get, preceded by a get, then that bia is not being koina everything that the get left over. In other words, there is still something in the half that's supposed to be affected by mimer that has not been affected by bia, because after all, he's saying there is mimer after bia. And therefore he would say that mimer at the end does have an effect. For reasons that we discussed at the end of Nun Amud Beis, we said the various reasons. We said, why do we say that bia psula yesh acharei klum? Why do we say that bia psula, whatever happens after it, has an effect? We said because if it was after a get, then people might think that it's allowed after chalitza, and if it's after mimer, then you might think that bia acha bia is allowed. So for all that reason, a bia psula is not effective in preventing the following mimer or the following get from taking place, even according to Rav Gamliel. So therefore we're saying, in that sense, bia has a weaker effect than mimer would. If there had been get for the first one, mimer for the second one, mimer for the third one, then Rav Gamliel would say that last mimer has no effect. But when there's get, then bia, then mimer, he says the mimer does have an effect, and it asks him to marry her relatives. And similarly, if it's mimer, then bia, then get. Same idea. Abaya says that explains Rav Gamliel's and the Chachamim's opinions. So that's what Rav Gamliel holds, that the mimer and the get affect different halves of the zikah relationship. The Chachamim are saying each get weakens the relationship that one Yavam had with one Yavama, but it leaves the relationship between the other Yavamim and the Yavama, or between the Yavam and the other Yavamas, untouched. And therefore there's room for one mimer to take effect after another mimer, or one get after another get. As well, it says, Tana Rabbanan, Kate said, Oman Rav Gamliel, ain get acha get. What does Rav Gamliel mean when he says, ain get acha get? He means like this, Shtei Yavamas Shinoflo Lifne Yavam Echad. Suppose that there are two Yavamas for one Yavam. So the brother who passed away was married to two women. Well, again, in the diagrams before, we called them, let's say, Chana and Leah. Venosan get lazu, v'get lazu. He gave a get to one, and he gave a get to Chana, and then he gave a get to Leah, without having done Yibum. Rav Gamliel and Mecholat L'Rishoyna. Rav Gamliel says that he does Chalitza with the first one, but also with Krevis Seha, and then he's also in her relatives, Umutter with Krevis Shnia. He'll still remain Mutter to marry the relatives of the second one, because again, he says, Ain't get Acha get, and therefore the second get has no effect after the first one did. Now, why are we saying that he should do that? Why are we saying that he should give a get to the first one? Why is Rabbi Gamliel saying that he should do chalitza? Rabbi Gamliel and cholat for Yishayin, but also the Kriviseh. Why is Rabbi Gamliel saying specifically do chalitza with the first one? So Rashi explains he doesn't mean that you can't do chalitza with the second one. If you did chalitza with the second one, then that would also be a perfectly good chalitza. In fact, in a way, even better, because after all, the second get, he said, is not valid as a get at all. It has no effect. So therefore, the chalitza is more of a chalitza ma'ula. It's more of a preferred type of chalitza. The reason why we're saying cholat l'rishayna, Rashi says, Ram Gamliel is giving us good advice. Given that you've already given a get to the first one, and thereby passed her relatives to you, then if you now go and do chalitza with the second one, then you're going to be assuring her relatives to you as well, because the relatives of your chalitza are also assuring. So therefore, Rav Gamliel is giving you good practical advice. Give chalitza to the first one, that'll be fine. And then therefore you'll still be mutter to marry the relatives of the second one. Marsha actually points out, you know, don't you have a different reason? We learned a couple of times in the Masechta that when you have a choice who to do chalitza to, you should anyway do chalitza with the one who's already posel the corner. we learned the expression a couple of times that Rebbe had taught, lo yishvich oda mei borei v'acherim tzrichim lehem, that a person shouldn't spill out uselessly water from his pit where other people could conceivably use it. And we said on the basis of that, if you have a woman who's still kosher l'kohona, don't unnecessarily passel her by giving her chalitza. That's why we said, for example, that if there were two wives, and one, for example, is a grusha, or otherwise posel to a kohen, and the other one is not, then do chalitza with the one who's anyway posel, and that way you're not unnecessarily making a woman posel to a kohen. So why over here don't we say that, says Marsha? So why does Rashi have to mention the point that it's practical good advice in order that he's not also in her relatives? So Marsha says, maybe what it is Rashi may hold, it's true that the second get, Rav Gamliel is saying, has no effect, but nevertheless, that get still has an effect that it passels her to marry a kohen. We're going to learn later on, and we're going to learn on Document Bays, about something called Reyach HaGet, which literally means the aroma the aroma or the fragrance of a get, something which is not a full-fledged get, is still enough to passel a woman to marry a kohen, and that would be an example. So Marashal says Rashi may hold that in this case it's at least reyach haget. Fine, Rav Gamliel was saying the second get has no effect of assuring her relatives to him, but it does at least have the effect of passeling her to a kohen. Meaning, in other words, Marashal says, so either way, both of them are going to be also to a kohen. One because each one received a get. That is why Rashi can't say that he should do chalitza with the first one in order not to passel the second one to a kohen, because both of them are passel to a kohen regardless. The Rashash disagrees with that. He points out that a Gemara later seems to imply not like that, and he gives a different explanation. He says that, let's say, for example, we're talking about that practically speaking, both of them are, our Gemara, after all, is not distinguishing between whether one of them is, is mutter to a kohen or the other one is. Rashi is saying this over here because it doesn't matter really. We're talking about, let's say both of them had previously been divorced. So anyway, they're both posel l'kohenim, and therefore in that case, there's no practical advantage to doing chalitza with one versus the other, and therefore Rashi's saying the only practical advantage is that you won't be also in the second one's relatives. Okay. So anyway, so that's Rav Gamliel's opinions. And similarly, so Rav Gamliel continues, Noisim get l'rishoyne, he gives a get to the first one, I skipped a few lines. Rav Gamliel and Mecholat Rishona, but also the Kareviseha. Now he's also in her relatives because he gave her a get, and now he did Chalitza as well, which reinforces that. Umutter the Kareviseha, but he's still mutter to marry the relatives of the second woman because even though he gave her a get, he says Ain get a haget. Chachamim Aymim, Nasan Get Lazu V'Get Lazu. The Chachamim say no. If he gave a get to each one of them, also B'Krevis Shteihen, then he's also in the relatives of both of them, because like we said before, the Chachamim say Yesh Get Acha Get. The second get has plenty of room to take effect. According to Abaye's explanation, we said because the first get only damaged the zika between him and the first Yavama, it didn't affect the relationship between him and the second Yavama. Similarly, continues the Braisa, and the Braisa continues, the same rule applies when it's two Yavamim and one Yavama. The same rule that we said, a get for one and a get for the other, where it was one Yavam and two Yavamas, same rule applies if it's two Yavamim and one Yavama, where Shimon gave her a get and Levi gave her a get. Again, Ram Gamliel is going to say that the second get has no effect. So therefore, Levi would be mutter to marry her relatives, and the Chum say no. Kate said, Omer Ram Gamliel, ein maimer acha maimer. What does Ram Gamliel mean when he says, ein maimer acha maimer? How do we illustrate that? Shtei yavamas shenaflu lifnei yavam echad. Again, let's start with two yavamas in front of one yavam. So again, Reuben was married to Chana and Leah, and now he died, and now they're up for yivum to Shimon. But also, maimer bazu, maimer bazu. Shimon did maimer with one, and then maimer with the other. Ram Gamliel am a nosin get l'rishona. Ram Gamliel says he's going to give a get. He has to give a get to the first one. V'cholitzva, he still has to give her chalitza as well, because daraisa, the get, is not going to be enough to be effective. Which the Gemara on Omid Beis is going to ask. If Ram Gamliel is saying ein maimer acha maimer, then why can't he do yivum with the first one? Why does he have to give her a get and chalitza? We'll discuss that on Amud Beis. Anyway, so he gives her a get in Chalitza, but also the Krevis Seho, he's going to be also in her relatives. Well, Mutter, but Krevis Shnia, he's still going to be Mutter in the relatives of the second one. And again, for the same reason as before, Ram Gamliel is going to say that he should do the get in Chalitza with the first one in order not to unnecessarily pass all the relatives of the second one to him. And the Chum say no, he's going to have to give a get to both of them. And then he's going to be also in the relatives of both. And then he's going to have to do chalitza with one of them. In this case, there's no advantage to doing chalitza with one over the other, because he gave each one a get anyway to undo the mimer. According to the Chachamim, a get is either get to each one of them is enough to be effective, and therefore their relatives are already possible to him anyhow, and therefore it doesn't matter which, and they're both possible to Kayanim, and therefore it doesn't matter which one he does chalitza with. The same thing applies when it's two Yavamim and one Yavama, same consideration. Shimon did Maimer with her, then Levi did Maimer with her, same thing. Ram Gamliel would say Levi's Maimer has no effect, the Chachamim would say that it does. Okay, thus far the Braisa. Now let's analyze it. So we said in the case where he did mimer with one and mimer for the other. So the Chachamim say he has to give a get to each one. Ram Gamliel am a cholitz for Rishona, and Ram Gamliel says he does chalitza with the first one, but also the krevis seho. He's also to marry her relatives because of the chalitza. Umutu be krevis shina. But he's allowed to marry the relatives of the second one, because ein mimer acha mimer. So the mimer with the second one he says has no effect. And he didn't give her a get. He only had to give a get to the first one. So the Gemara says, Lema tehevi tsyukta de Shmuel. Well, is this braisa then a contradiction to Shmuel? The Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says a case where you have two Yavamas and you gave a get to one of them and then chalitza. So now that's a chalitza psula. It's a chalitza p'chusa, actually, to be as the terminology that Rambam uses. It's chalitza p'chusa because it's not a chalitza ma'ula, a real high-level chalitza, a real perfect chalitza would be where there had been no get before it. Here, there was a get before it, which already weakened the zika. So now, what happens? So Shmuel says, therefore, so suppose you have the two Yavamas, Chana and Leah. Suppose he gave a get to Chana, and then he gave Chalitza to Chana as well. Lo nifter atzara. Then her tzara, Leah, says Shmuel, is not potter because he only did Chalitza on a weaker Zika. What he should have done, he should have done Chalitza on the stronger Zika, namely with Leah. And that would potter Chana, whose Zika is weaker because of the get. Now, our Braisa that we just quoted said, that Ram Gamliel said, that he does Chalitza to the first. first one, which contradicts Shmuel, because we assume that Rav Gamliel, we assume that Shmuel is not, obviously Shmuel, we can assume, is going according to the Chachamim, but we can assume that on that particular point, Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim are not disagreeing, that Chalitza with the first one is effective. The Chachamim, in fact, seem to say that Chalitza is effective with either one. Now the Chachamim say, yes, get, achav, get, so therefore they would say that each Zikr is already weakened. But Rav Gamliel, who holds Ein Get Achav Get, he holds that the second Zikr is still strong, to the extent that the second Get can't affect it. So now the question is, then why is Rav Gamliel saying, Dafka you do Chalitza, that's preferable to do Chalitza with the first one, when according to Shmuel's rule, you should Dafka have to do it with the second one? The answer is, Amalach Shmuel. The answer is, Shmuel can answer you, Ki Amri Anno, I'll leave it demand Omar, Yesh Zikr. My statement about that if you do chalitza, that if you do get to one, and then chalitza to her, then that's not as good. It's not a chalitza ma'ula. That is according to the opinion, yesh zika. And therefore, so you have the concept of zika exists, and it's strong, and therefore, so you haven't completely removed it, you haven't at all removed it from the second one. All you did was you weakened it for the first one, and you left the zika with the other one untouched. And zika is a strong thing, and therefore you need chalitza to be done on the strongest possible zika. But Rav Gamliel sava ein zika. News says Shmuel, Rav Gamliel holds ein zika, which now we know that. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta at the beginning of the second parak. Rashi refers to on the basis of a Gemara near the end of our Masechta, where you have a case over there where a man is married to two sisters, you have two brothers are married to two sisters, where one of the sisters is a katana, and her kiddushin are only dirabanan, because the kiddushin of a katana who wasn't married off by her father are only dirabanan. And Rav Gamliel had said, im miyano miyano, if the katana does miyun, then fine. If not, then we can wait until she gets older, and then automatically the yavama is potter because she's his wife's sister. So we see that Rav Gamliel holds ein zika, that zika is not a strong thing. We don't say as soon as the older sister comes up for yibum, we don't say that zika already makes that his young wife is a chois zikukasai, because Rav Gamliel holds ein zika. So therefore, so if ein zika, then yes, then there's no problem with doing chalitza with the same woman to whom you gave the get. Because there's anyway not such a strong zika in the first place that there should be a difference between a chalitza pechusa and a chalitza ma'ula, between a full-fledged chalitza and a weaker kind of chalitza. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Umid Rav Gamliel sava ein zika. Fine. Let's assume that if Rav Gamliel holds ein zika, presumably Rabbanan sava yesh zika. Presumably, let's assume that the Chachamim are arguing and saying yesh zika. In other words, let's assume that the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel are arguing on two points. Number one, they're arguing whether yesh get achav get or ein get achav get, and the same thing with Maimer. And number two, they're arguing on whether there exists zika or not. Now Rashi says there's no particular reason to think that they would, but let's assume, in other words, even though we can't deduce from anything that Chum said that they would hold yesh zika, let's start with the assumption that they're arguing on that as well. On the other hand, the Ritva says that maybe, in fact, we could deduce from what the Chachamim say that they hold yesh zika, because that would be a reason why they'd be saying yesh get acha get and yesh maimer acha maimer, because there still exists a strong zika that can then be affected by the other get or by the other maimer. Well, the Katani Sefer, well, the Braisa continues, the Braisa that we just quoted continues, that all of these rules, the same machlokas from Gamliel and the Chachamim, also apply to two Yavamim and one Yavama, where there was Shimon gave her Maimer and then Levi gave her Maimer, or Shimon gave her a get and Levi gave her a get. Now, in that case, if we assume that the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel are arguing not only yesh get acha get and yesh maimer acha maimer, but they're also arguing on yesh zika or ein zika, if we say that lema tevet yukta derava baravuna, then would we have to say that this braisa is a contradiction to Rava baravuna? The Omer Rava baravuna Omer Rav chalitza psula tzricha lachzer akol achim. When there's a chalitza psula, namely in this case, for example, because he gave a get to the first one, and then he's doing chalitza, with her, so that's a chalitza pchusa, or Rashi calls it chalitza ru'ua, or a shaky or a weak chalitza. Anyway, so he says, chalitza psula, tzricha lachzer al kol achen, she's going to actually have to go and do chalitza with each of the brothers in order to remove the zikta. So in our case, in other words, where Shimon gave her a get, and Levi gave her a get, and then one of them does chalitza with her, the Rav Bar Rav Huna is saying, it's not going to be enough for Shimon to give her chalitza. That's not enough for her to go marry outside the family. Yevama l'shuk. She's still going to need chalitza from Levi as well. Had it been a chalitza ma'ula, had it been a perfect chalitza, then chalitza with one of them would have been enough. But now, because it was chalitza p'chusa, or ru'ua, or psula, or whatever you want to call it, then therefore it needs to go around among all the brothers. Now,
did you one time say the word
call it a grua, maybe also. Yeah, I mean, these are, I think that I'm using the word grua in connection with bia. They have bia, no, they have bia psula and bia kshera. No, there is something in that connection. Shmira mula and shmira psula, that's something else, yeah. There is something in this connection where that I'm using the word grua. I can't remember what it is just now, but anyway. Maybe it was maimer, maybe it was maimer grua, I don't know. Anyway, whatever, the point is, that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is saying that you need to go around all the other brothers. Now, what did we say in the Braisa that we just quoted? That Shimon gave her a get and Levi gave her a get. What did the Chachamim say in the Braisa? So Rav Gamliel had said in the Braisa, the second get has no effect. All you need to do is you do chalitza with one of them. You do chalitza, let's say, with the first one, the one to whom he gave the get. And then that's it. He's mutter with the relatives of the other one. The Chum say he needs a get for each one of them, and he needs chalitza for one of them. Or the Chum say if he gave a get to each one of them, then he needs chalitza for one of them. But chalitza for only one of them, implying you don't need chalitza with both. According to Rav Bar Rav Huna, now having given a get, then he needs chalitza with, then now having given a get to each of them, and according to the Chachamim, both gifts and Achal, then now for each one of them, it's a whichever one he would do chalitza, whichever one of them would do when it's two brothers and one Yavama, whichever one of them now does chalitza with her, it's going to be a chalitza psula, and therefore the other one is going to have to do chalitza as well. But that's not what the Braisa says. So that's a contradiction on Rav Bar Rav Huna. The answer is Amalach Rav Bar Rav Huna. No, you're thinking that this is all based on the idea that the Chacham hold Yesh Zikta. No, Rav Bar Rav Huna can say, Bein L'Ram Gamliel, Bein L'Rabbanan, Sabri Ein Zikta. Both them hold there's no zika. In other words, zika is not such a strong thing. The machlokas is strictly on the question of whether mimer is effective after a previous mimer or get after a previous get. Where Rav Gamliel holds no and the chachamim say yes. So in other words, when Shimon gives a get to Leah, there's no strong zika in the first place to be damaged by that get. Such that we should say that now, later on, the chalitza is a chalitza p'chusa, or chalitza p'sula. We don't say that. We say, even the chacham say, ein zika, and therefore one of them does chalitza with her, and that's quite enough. It doesn't matter which one. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says, if we said ein zika, then you would have my rule that tzricha lachzer al kol achen. But if we hold ein zika, then that's not necessary. So fine, the chacham of the sprite to hold ein zika. But we learned in the second parak, we had a machloikas amiroyim, and we related it, in fact, to a machloikas tanoyim, whether yesh zika or ein zika. So there are certainly tanoyim who hold that yesh zika, and their opinions are not represented in this braisa at all. So in other words, so we would say that there are at least three opinions over here. Rav Gamliel would say that if Shimon gave Leah a get, and then Levi gave her a get, then the second get is ineffective, and Levi still remains mutter to marry her relatives. The Chachamim would say that no, each get is effective. Each one asks him to marry the other one's relatives. Each one asks her to marry this woman's relatives. But in terms of chalitza, they would say one of them does chalitza and that's enough. And then you'd have the other Tanoim who hold Yesh Zika, and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna would be following them and saying not only are both them also to marry Leah's relatives, but also both them in order to be Matu Leah are going to have to do chalitza for her. Next, the Gemara continues. Now we said in the Braisa that if Shimon didn't, going back to the case where there were one, where there's one Yavam and two women, we said if the Yavam does Mimer to one of the women and Mimer to the other one, Rav Gamliel Amin Noisin Geth L'Shona, Rav Gamliel says, well, now that he did the second Mimer, So now so we say he has to give a get to the first one, and he does chalitza to her, but also he'll be also to marry her relatives because of the chalitza, but it'll be mutter in the relatives of the second one because the second mimer had no effect. Well, the Gemara asks, Mechti kasavar Rav Gamliel ein mimer acha mimer. Given that Rav Gamliel holds that ein mimer acha mimer, so what's the problem? Why do we even need chalitza? Why do we even need a get and chalitza? Rishonim nami pisyabim. According to him, why can't the first one do yibum? So let's draw out the case. Shimon did mimer with Chana. Now the expectation is that after that he's going to do yibum with Chana, and good, he did a perfect yibum. What happens now? He does mimer with Leah. Well, Rav Gamliel says mimer acha mimer has no effect. So therefore, it's the equivalent of not having given whether he gave a mimer to Leah or whether he didn't give a mimer to Leah. According to Rav Gamliel, makes no difference. So why can't he do yibum with Chana? Why is Rav Gamliel saying he has to give her a get and chalitza? So the answer is gzeira joma osili abumi l'shnia. You're right. In principle, he could do yibum with Chana. The reason why we don't want him to is because of Gzeira, that he might instead do Yibum with the second one, with Leah. And the problem with that would be, even Rav Gamliel agrees that he's not supposed to do that, because having given Mimer to Chana, then he has a certain strengthened relationship with her, and therefore now if he marries Leah, then he's Boina Shnei Bakim, then he's getting married to two women from the same household, from the same dead husband, and we know he can't do that. By Sacharu Boina, Baina Boina Shnei Bakim. So once he did Mimer to Chana, Rav Gamliel agrees that he's not supposed to be, that he can't do Yibum with Leah, and therefore, as a Gzeira on that, we're not going to allow him to do Yibum with Chana in this case either. Even though in principle, because Ein Mimer Acha Mimer, he should have been able to. Okay. Omer Rav Yechanan. So Rav Yechanan points out, Rav Gamliel, Ubeis Shammai, Rav Shimon, Uben Azai, Rav Nechemia, all these five Tanoim, all of them hold that Mimer accomplishes a complete kinyan, which Rashi says doesn't really mean a complete kinyan, but rather a kinyan choshu, that it has a certain grit, the kinyan that it accomplishes is of great importance. And we're going to go through and we're going to show how that's the case. Tosfos points out that here, and actually in many places in Shas, when you have an Amora says, when Amora brings a list of Tanoim and says all of them hold such and such, we don't mean that all of them hold exactly the same way. For example, Tosfos says over here, Beis Shammai holds that Mimer is actually effective on a Zaraisa level, whereas all the other Tanoim that we're listing only hold that it's effective on a Zarabanan level. And within these Tanoim themselves, Rav Gamliel says it's only Koina to the effect that a second Mimer after it is not effective. Ben Azai is distinguishing between how many Yevamim and how many Yevamis there are and so forth. So each one of them has his own twist. So in other words, all we're saying is they all hold of the basic concept that Mimer is Koina Kinyan Gomer, or as Rashi puts it, a Kinyan Choshu. But not that each of them agrees. Each of them has his own twist on it, which the other ones don't necessarily agree with. And by the way, we have a rule that the Goyim say, Ein Halacha Keshita, when we list a group of Tanoim like that and say all of them hold the same way, it's saying that the Halacha is not like them. Partly for that reason, because like Tosfos is saying, each of them disagrees with details within the other one. So when you have a list of Tanoim, when the Gemara says, so-and-so, Pliny and Pliny, Kulu Sviralahu, they all hold such and such, the Goyim give us a rule, Ein Halacha Keshita. The halacha is not like that group of Tanoim.
Because they're listing the ones that are different.
First of all, because we're listing the ones that are different, implying that all the other Chachamim disagree. But also because, like Tosfos is saying over here, each one of them has their own twist on the statement anyway. What Beis Shammai is saying about Mimer, that it's effective Daraisa, is not something that the other four Tanoim subscribe to. What Rav Gamliel is saying, that it's effective to the extent that it doesn't leave room for another Mimer after it, is also not something that the other four would subscribe to, and so forth. So all they have in common is each of them is saying something about the power of Mimer, but what that something is, each one has their own twist on it.
Now that's specific to this job. But
in general, in Shas, when we have a list like that, there's a similar kind of thing. That when we say Kulu Svira Lahu, it means that not all of them agree with every particular of what the other one is saying. We're just saying that there's a certain commonality between them. So let's go through the list. Rav Gamliel Hodam Moran. Rav Gamliel, we just said that he says that in Maimer Acha Maimer, because again, we said according to Abaye's explanation, it was a matter of suffix, but according to Abaye's explanation, it was because the first Maimer accomplished everything that Maimer could do. It affected the entire half of the Zika that Maimer could affect, and therefore, second Maimer, there's no room for it to take effect, whereas we said the Chachamim say not. So that's Rav Gamliel. Beis Shammai, where do we see Beis Shammai hold of such a concept? The Tznan, we learned previously in the third parak, Shloisha Achin, we had an example, we had a case of three brothers, Shnayim Mehem Nesurim Meshtei Achoyas, two of them are married to two brothers, the Echad Mufna, and the third one is unmarried, which it doesn't have to be that he's unmarried for purposes of Ardin, it could equally well be that he's married to an unrelated woman. Whatever, the point is that Reuben and Shimon are married to the two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Now if the husband of one of the sisters, Shimon, dies, and now Leah is a Yavama, so we have over here, we had a diagram for it before when we learned this on Daf Chafes, now in Mara Yavamas, we have that diagram reproduced again as diagram 186, so you can refer to that. So Reuben and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah. First Shimon died, therefore with a little aleph over Shimon, so now Leah is up for Yibum. But also ba mufna maimer, Levi, who was unmarried, did maimer to Leah.
What's mufna?
Mufna means that he's unmarried. So Levi was unmarried. Again, for our purposes, it doesn't matter really whether Levi was unmarried or whether he was married to an unrelated woman. The point is,
Russian
partner, yes. So one second. He did maimer with Leah, v'achakach mes ochiv, then the other brother Reuven died, so now both sisters are up for Yibum to him. Beshama says the one with whom he did maimer remains with him. In other words, Leah is not also to him as a hoistikukasai, because the maimer, according to Beshama, was koina kinyan gomer, and even as Tosfa says, on a daraisa level. And Rachel is potter because she's his wife's sister. And as usual, an erva is potter from Chalitza or Yibum. We see that, whereas Basilo disagrees and said, because Basilo says that the mimer is not koina, and therefore each one is a chos to kukase. But we see that Beshamai holds that the mimer is enough to make Leah as if she was his complete wife. To the extent where now, when Rachel's husband dies, then she's not up for Yibum because she's already a chos ishtar, rather than a chos to kukase. So we see that Beshamai holds mimer koina kinyan gomer. What were you going to say?
Oh. It's the same word as mufna in Limur, like Kovu.
Okay, so that's where we see that Reb Shammai holds that. Reb Shimon, where do we see Reb Shimon holds of such a concept of my Makona Kinyan Gomer? Again, not that he would agree necessarily with Reb Gamliel's opinion about the specifics of it, not necessarily that he would agree with Reb Shammai's opinion about the specifics of it, but they have this commonality where they all talk about the strength of Maimer, each in their own way. Netanya, because we learn in a Braisa, in a case, now we have a case like this. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about, now you have like this. Bia of a 9-year-old, of a boy between 9 and 13 years old, is capable of doing Bia. And his Bia has effect on Pialoch. But in terms of Yibum, we say it. Now Bia of a Godol would accomplish complete Yibum. And then that's it. She's his wife for all purposes, as we've learned before. But Bia of a Katan, even though it has the effect, it's considered Bia, nevertheless, the Chachamim say it does not have the full effect of Bia in terms of making the Yavama his wife. For that, he has to be a Gadol. So if you have two Yavamim, so let's say going back to our example, you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven died. Now suppose that Levi is 9 years old, is between 9 and 13 years old. Suppose that now Levi has relations with this Yavama, then what he accomplishes is, now the Chachamim make his Bia the equivalent of Maimer. So suppose the other way around, rather. So, yeah, yeah. So let's say, for example, okay, let's say both brothers. Let's say Rashi draws out the example where both of them were between 9 and 13. So Shimon had relations with her, and then so did Levi. So now, the Chachamim consider the bia of a 9-year-old to be the equivalent of Maimer. Therefore, in effect, you have Maimer Acha Maimer over here. So that Maimer Acha Maimer makes it that now, in effect, she's Mekudesh to both of them, and therefore she's Posel to both of them. The Chachamim, after all, say, Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer. But Reb Shimon, the Tanya, Reb Shimon says, Amalahu Reb Shimon the Chachamim, no, Im Bias Rishon Bia, if the bia of the first one is considered valid bia and it's completely koiner her, bia sheni ain't a bia. Then the second one doing bia with her has no effect because at that point she's already the full yibum has been done. If you say that it's considered complete bia, then the full yibum has been done at that point when she has relations with Levi, then it's just nus. Now Rashi says it wouldn't even passel her to her husband on the grounds of znus because Rashi says, only if there was kinui or stira. And here there was no kinui. On the other hand, Tosfos disagrees with that, because Tosfos says, what are you talking about? In fact, Tosfos goes so far as to say, shehi tos sofa v'lo pirshei Rashi ma'olam. This statement in Rashi, that only kinui or stira would ask her, must be a mistake by a writer. Rashi never said any such thing. Because what do you mean, only kinui or stira? Sure, if there was kinui, then she becomes also only if there's edim of stira. But if there's edim tumah, if there's actual edim that she had relations, then for sure she's also whether there was kinui or not. So rather, Tosfos explains, we're talking about, let's say that the second brother did it for shoydig, which doesn't ask her. Or let's say she herself was a katana, and it's considered oynis. Or whatever, various examples like that, where she doesn't become also to her husband on the grounds of bia from somebody else. Anyway, the point is, so Reb Shimon is saying, if the first bia is effective to the extent of making that yibum has been accomplished, then the second one can't accomplish yibum anymore. The second one is just nus. And unless it's a case where znus is going to answer her, then it doesn't answer her. The im bia solution ain't a bia. And Reb Shimon says, if the bia of the first one is not considered full-fledged bia, because he's not 13, bia sheni nami ain't a bia, then the second one is not either, and therefore there's no reason that she should be usur to the second one. Now, v'habias ben teisha to k'maimah shavur rabbanon. Now, the bia of a 9-year-old, we said the chachamim make it the equivalent of maimer, the comment of Shimon ain't a bia. And we see that Reb Shimon is saying that there's the possibility that the second bia is not a bia, because, in other words, he's saying that the first maimer, or in this case, the first bia of a cotton, which is the equivalent of maimer, is strong enough to accomplish everything that maimer could, and therefore leaves no room for the second one. So similar to Reb Gamliel's opinion, who says ain maimer acha maimer. Okay. Next, Ben Azai. Where do we see Ben Azai holds of such a concept? The Tanya. Ben Azai Omer, Yesh Maimer Achamaimer B'Shnei Yivomen V'Yivoma Achat. He says, when you have two Yivomen and one Yivoma, then there is Maimer Achamaimer. So if you have Shimon and Levi, and Shimon did Maimer, and then Levi did Maimer, then the second Maimer takes effect, because each one has a Chiyuv of Maimer with her Medirabanan, and therefore it has an effect, and each one now is also to marry her relative. The Ein Maimer Achamaimer B'Shnei Yivomes V'Yivoma Achat. But not when there's two Yavamas and one Yavam, because whatever koyach the Chachamim gave Maimer, the first one is completely effective, and the second one leaves no room for it. Rashi then brings a girsa from his Rebbeim the other way around, that Ben Azai says the other way around. There is Maimer Acha Maimer by two Yavamim and one Yavama, because just like regular Kiddushin, because after all, you can't do two Kiddushin with one woman. On the other hand, there would be Maimer Acha Maimer with two Yavamas, because each one has their own, not independent really, but each one has her capability for Yavam. So Rashi prefers the first Lashon. Tosfos discusses over here that maybe not. That maybe actually the first Lashon in Rashi, which would be the opposite of how we have it in our Gemara, maybe that would be more correct. Anyway, the point is that Ben Azai distinguishes between the two cases. So he says there is a time when there is Maimer Acha Maimer, which shows therefore that he's in that list of Tanoim who holds, sometimes he says Ein Maimer Acha Maimer, which shows that he's in that list of Tanoim with Reb Gamliel and Beis Shammai and so forth, who hold that Maimer is strong. And the last one, Reb Nechemia, where do we see Reb Nechemia hold that? That's not in our Mishnah. We said Reb Nechemia, Omer, Achas Be'ilo v'Achas Chalitza. We said that whether it comes to Be'ilo or Chalitza, both of which are effective on the Doraisa level, Bein V'Techila, Bein V'Emsa, Bein V'Soif, whether they were done at the beginning, meaning they were the first one on the list, or in the middle or at the end. So whether there was chalitza to then chalitza with one, then maimer to a second and get to a third, or there was get, then chalitza, then maimer, or whether there was maimer, get, and chalitza, and the same thing with bia, whether bia came at the beginning, the middle, or the end. Either way, he says, ein acharei achlum, there's nothing after it. Once chalitza is accomplished, then there's no more zika. Once bia is accomplished, then the zika has been fully satisfied. Now, v'hal bia psula, the kamaimer shavyur rabbanan. After all, when the bia is in the middle or at the end, it's a bia psula, because it was preceded by a get, or it was preceded by maimer with a different woman. So it's a bia psula. It's not a fully effective bia. And the kamaimer shavyur rabbanan, the chachamim consider it the equivalent of maimer, because you need not only a get, you also need chalitza. The katoni ein acharei achlum. And we're still saying, Rav Nechemya says there's nothing after it, which shows that he holds that maimer itself has a certain strength to that maimer itself has a certain, and in this case, bia psula, which is the equivalent of maimer, has a certain strength to the extent that nothing after it makes any difference. So we see that he also holds that maimer has a certain strength. So that's this list of the five Tanoim who all hold in various ways that maimer has a certain powerful strength. Tosfos discusses over here, by the way, that in that case, does that mean that would we have to say that according to Rav Nechemya, in effect, he would have to be saying that maybe a get and maimer actually work daraisa, and that daraisa, you could use a get to remove the zika with the yavama, which the Gemara and Kedushin discusses that can't. It seems that maybe Rav Nechemya wouldn't hold of that, but nobody says that in all of Shas. So therefore, Tosfos discusses that no, he would agree with that, but nevertheless, he's still saying that ein maimer acha maimer, because he holds that you don't need to make the xeris that we learned at the bottom of Nunam and Beis. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.